Lansing City Councilmember Brian Jeffries joins us momentarily to update current state on the Lansing City budget. First, let's briefly touch bases with MLive's Angela Whitrock on another story. The East Lansing City Council is expected to vote on a budget tonight as well. One part of the agenda in East Lansing involves a grant to increase Michigan Flyer bus service between East Lansing and Detroit Metro Airport, and not everyone likes that. Can you explain what's going on there?
Absolutely. Yeah, the federal government has these grants to help encourage more bus transportation, or more transportation really for low-income residents between cities. So they call them intercity. And Michigan Flyer applied for and received this grant from the federal government. It's about $550,000. And what the problem is now is that the Tri-County Regional Planning Commission, which has to rubber stamp all federal funds coming through the area, is maybe on the fence with this one. They've rejected a similar request before for Michigan Flyer, and due to opposition from the likes of the Capital Region International Airport Authority and Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero, they're all sort of on the fence about whether or not they'll actually go ahead and approve this disbursement of this grant that's already been approved by the federal government.
So they view it as a threat to revenue at the airport.
Correct.
Basically, it's that simple, that cut and dried?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Well, let's invite Lansing City Council Member Brian Jeffries in to help us deconstruct where the budget process is in Lansing. Welcome back, Brian.
Well, thank you, Mark. Hi, Angela.
Hi, Brian.
Mayor Bernero told some media last night to expect a veto of the plan the council passed last night, which you voted for. Is it clear to you what changes to the mayor's plan that you made last night that is inviting a veto?
It's not clear. I mean, we've had some discussions with the administration. I think the big items on the budget and the changes that we made dealt with the Board of Water and Light and the funding for streetlights, as well as our fire hydrants. The initial proposal from the mayor was to assess those against the residents. They have been being paid out of our general fund. And as we went through the budget process, we had a lot of community outreach through public hearings and attended a number of neighborhood meetings. And people are just telling us they've had enough. I mean, we've increased our taxes as high as we can. We've cut services. And to keep putting some of these expenses on our folks people are at their tipping point. And so we looked very hard at what we could do with this proposal to see if we could generate the funds through various budget cuts and through revenue or additional revenue, which we looked at in terms of increasing the return on equity or the payment in lieu of taxes from the Board of Water and Light, to come up with the amount of money we needed to be able to use the general fund to continue those payments and not put the payments of those items on the back of our residents and businesses. So, we've heard from the mayor that he supports some of that. I'm not sure if it's just the streetlight fee or if it was the fire hydrant or both. So I'm unclear about that. He has talked about the cold case investigator that we did cut. He had proposed a new position there. He's made definite comments about that. So he has until this Thursday at 5 o'clock to make his veto, and then we have 2 weeks to try to overturn any vetoes that he does. He has a line item veto authority, and anything that council would do would have to occur on the Monday, June 3rd meeting that we have. So that's kind of the timeline that we're looking at.
Can you talk a little bit about the sort of timing problems last night? It appeared mm-hmm. that you guys were working with what you thought was a balanced budget, and it seemed like maybe the vote would just be sort of a replay of what you did Friday, but suddenly you find out that's not quite the case. Can you sort of walk the listeners through that a
sure.
little bit?
Sure. All the pieces were in place. I mean, we weren't looking at the budget in terms of last night cutting things that we hadn't cut before, adding things that we didn't add before. What we had was new information brought to us late Monday afternoon that some of the numbers that we're relying on were incorrect. For example, we thought in our fleet fund we had an additional $250,000 that we had used to offset the general fund appropriation to that so we could use those monies for other things. As we found out, we didn't have the money in the fund. That was information brought to us from the administration Monday afternoon. There was an additional $300,000 that the administration had put in an amendment that they brought to us on Friday that we did not approve, but for some reason those additional funds were placed in the budget. So right when we're about ready to approve the budget, we were told by the administration that it didn't balance because of that $300,000. And we had to work back through that to show that we didn't do that. And eventually the numbers did play out in terms of what we had. But there were some hiccups along the way. All the pieces were there. We're just trying to put the right numbers to them.
We're talking with Lansing City Councilmember Brian Jeffries, along with MLive's Angela Whitrock. I want to get back to the BWL piece here, mm-hmm. though. The mayor apparently does not quarrel with the plan to bump up BWL fees to the city in place of hiking the light and the hydrant fees on residents. This has been discussed in the past, and mm-hmm. it was more contentious in the past. Did it surprise you that he apparently doesn't have a problem with that, or?
Well, it's somewhat, and I think what we have to look at in terms of whether the mayor supports this or not is there's two pieces to it. There's the electric light portion of it, and then there's the water portion of it. I can see the mayor supporting the electric light, using the increase to pay for that, but on the fire hydrant portion, I can see him vetoing part of that because that's something that he can, or that the Board of Water and Light can assess on our ratepayers, something the council or the city would not have to do. So I'm not sure he's in total agreement of all of that. But it was surprising because last year a number of us rolled out somewhat of a similar proposal. Yeah. We had asked to increase it an additional 1%. That's what's in the budget now. It's about 1.1% increase in the payment in lieu of taxes. And we suggested doing it over a 5-year period of time, and at the same time increasing it by 0.25% every year. That would reduce our overall millage by a like amount in terms of what that would generate. Here, we're just increasing it, and we're going to put it into the general fund to offset any potential fee increases to our residents and businesses.
Now, once again, the council has recommended cutting three specific programs that come out of the mayor's office. The Sister Cities appropriation that helps fund, I think, trips, right, to the Sister City in Japan. And then the program officers for the Sister Cities program and the mayor's office of faith-based initiatives. Last year, you guys put through those cuts, and the mayor was pretty livid about that. Again, you've put through the cuts, and it's probably going to be in the veto list. What is it about these two offices that the council is just doesn't?
Well, I think with the Sister Cities program, we have, and this dates back, I think I came on council in 2002. We were dealing with this issue back then, and we had an appropriation at that point of about, I want to say, $80,000 to Sister Cities, and going through the cuts, we determined as a council and the administration at that point, I think it was Tony Benavides who was mayor at that point, agreed that what we would do is to eliminate over a 4-year basis that appropriation, with the idea and understanding that the private sector should pick up that service or that payment for those services. And so we had put in place a reduction of $20,000 a year for 4 years, and that would have eliminated the city's appropriation for that particular service. Some of it was cut, but not all of it, and I think we're still wrestling with that. We believe that, again, that's something that the private sector should pick up. Same way with the faith-based. There are a number, if you look around the state, there are a number of programs that have been initiated in other municipalities and other cities that these programs are funded by the private sector and by nonprofit entities. And, you know, looking at the financial health team and their recommendations, I mean, they pushed hard about recommending that we start looking outside. The city can't provide everything for everybody, and we have to start looking at programs that conceivably could be picked up, should be picked up by the private sector. So I think those are a couple of things that we looked at.
Other things that obviously were in the mayor's budget that were no longer in the council version of the budget last night, economic development funding, which he commented pretty forcefully about to the media last night, mm-hmm. an IT position. That IT position, that is for what department?
Well, we have an IT department, but what was recommended from the financial health team was that the city seriously invest in our IT systems. That there's a belief that the more we increase that technology, there would be a reduction in cost to the city and increase in services to our residents. And one of the things that they recommended was to hire a professional IT person that would create a plan for the city. But the recommendation was also to work with the school district and have this person as a joint employee of the school district as well as the city. What council did is we didn't eliminate that position. We put in a control account some money that we thought if the city would sit down and negotiate with the Lansing School District, if they pay half, we pay half, it would probably take a half a year to negotiate that there would be enough in the budget to hire that person yet this year. So we were following the financial health team recommendation in that regard. We also did approve funding. There's the mayor requested $2 million for new IT software and hardware. We did approve the bond request for that. That's an appropriation of about $400,000 a year to pay for that debt service. I think there's a lot of support to do that within council. But again, this is a long-term investment. It's not just a single year. We have asked the administration for a clear plan in terms of what those costs are going to be in the out years, how that's going to save the city money, and how is that going to increase services to our residents. And we've not yet received that, but we're still moving down the road.
So we're aware that there's about a $1.4 million shortfall in the city's TIFA fund, which is basically pays the debt service on the courthouses, Cooley Law School Stadium, a few other things, and the TIFA fund can't make those payments any longer, or at least not in the next few years, it appears. So the city's picking up that tab, but you guys approved something kind of interesting last night as far as forcing TIFA to repay you. Can you talk a little bit about that and why?
We've got 60 seconds, by the way. Go for it.
Okay, what we did was we asked, and this was similar to what we did with a prior incident that was very similar when the city had to fall back on the full faith and credit and pay for some economic development activities. Basically, what we're saying to the TIFA, to the EDC, and to our Brownfield Authority, that when that happens, you're responsible for those costs, and we agreed to pay for that, but with the understanding that there would be a loan agreement which those monies would have to be repaid. We did not feel that the general fund dollars should be utilized for that purpose. They never have been. And so what we're trying to do is say, okay, we'll help you out, but as we've done in the past, you're going to have to repay that money. And additionally, we also looked at the reserve fund of the EDC. They have about $2.5 million, and we said take $400,000 out of that toward that as well. So that's how we tried to deal with it.
Lansing City Council Member Brian Jeffries, thanks very much for joining us. And Live's Angela Whitrock, a pleasure.
Thank you.